South Sudan's transitional government of national unity is set to deploy the first phase of the necessary unified forces to the Upper Nile state capital, Malakal, this week. President Salva Kiir's security advisor says nearly 800 forces, including 150 women, are ready for deployment. We now go live to South Sudan with the South Sudan Minister of Information and government spokesperson, Michael Makwey Lueth. Mr. Minister, thank you very much for joining us live from South Sudan's capital, Juba.
Thank you very much, Brother John, and welcome to the program.
Talk to us about what happened.
It's appreciated.
Yes, talk to us about what happened in Luri today. What happened exactly?
Okay, today in Luri, the unified force which we have been longing for all this time, this morning was deployed because it was graduated last August, and they have been deployed today, and it is the first battalion of the unified forces that has been deployed today, and they have been given all the requirements, and they have been moved to the transport destination, that is to the riverside, so that they bought the boats, so they are now on their way to Malakal, which is the first destination in which the unified force is deployed.
And
you was mentioning that this force was a combination of forces from the three regions. One forces from Upper Nile, from Upper Nile, from Equatoria, and from Bahr Ghazal have been mixed up, unified, and sent now. The same thing, they are now in the process of preparing another battalion that will be going also to Bahr Ghazal, and another battalion that will be here in Equatoria. So that is the process, and we have now started the deployment of these forces, so that we give room to phase two of the forces to enter the training center.
Correct. And from the information I'm getting in Juba, that the troops in Luri were totaling to around 800, did not have guns. How do you deploy troops without guns?
Well, this is what the international community wants, because we have been demanding the lifting of arms embargo so that we deploy them with guns. Instead, the international community had been on our neck and demanding that we deploy them. And we have been saying, how do we deploy forces without guns? And they said they ought to be deployed. And so we have done it. Now the international community will tell us as to what are these forces going to do without arms. This is why we have been insisting all the time that let the arms embargo be lifted, so that we arm these forces and graduate them and deploy them. But up to now, there had been nothing, and that's why we decided to deploy them according to the demand of the international community.
Yes, Mr. Minister, the revitalized peace agreement stipulates clearly that these unified forces are going to be in charge of security in major towns of South Sudan, or if you like, state capitals of the 10 state plus the three administrative areas. If you are starting phase one, deploying them without guns, how are they going to provide security in those areas, especially Malakal, that's been a hotspot?
Yes, it is true, and this is what we know, and this is why we have been delaying the deployment, hoping that the arms embargo will be lifted so that we arm them. But with the international community on our neck, saying that you must deploy them, you have delayed in the implementation of the security arrangement. You are obstructing the implementation of the agreement. So we had to deploy them so that they see it for themselves, that these forces are now going for deployment without arms. This is what they wanted.
But the other counter-argument is that these various groups that have been fighting the government or that took up arms against the government had their own guns. You were not fighting with sticks during the, six-plus years of conflict in South Sudan. How come there are no guns right now?
We are not here to blame the past, because these are already revived guns. What we have is that the forces, we were part of the SSPDF, these forces have their guns, but the other forces which were on the other side have no arms. And that's why it becomes difficult for us to deploy them together, one group with arms and the other group without arms. This is why we are sending them all like that.
But what is the implication? I mean, I know that you're saying the international community has been on your neck for quite a long time, or the international community has been on the case of the government for quite a long time, asking the government to implement the peace agreement. But why would you implement the peace agreement haphazardly because you are under pressure? What is the implication on the people? I mean, go ahead.
Well, it is not haphazard because the international community knows what it is doing. And they are holding us all the time responsible for the delay. And as you know very well, we graduated these forces in almost last year. And we kept them in the training centers all this time, hoping that the arms embargo will be lifted so that we acquire arms for them. This did not come forth. And the international community continued. So you should not ask me. I expect you to ask those of the international community as to how do you expect the government, these forces to be deployed without arms, and you expect them to be in charge of the security in those places. This question should have been asked to those who passed the resolution against us.
Mr. Minister, I only ask you those questions because whenever I go to Juba, I see soldiers with guns all over. I mean, you travel all over South Sudan, you meet people who are armed, whether you are in opposition area or you are government-controlled areas. So it becomes a little bit difficult to believe that there are no guns for these forces.
Mr. John, these forces are not the ones who were sent to the training center. These forces whom you see carrying arms are the ones who are carrying arms outside the training center. Those who went to the training centers are the ones now we are talking about. Those whom we graduated with the sticks last time. And these are the forces for which we have been struggling to get arms for them. Not the forces which are already on the ground.
And so, someone listening
the
to me...
Forces which you have been seeing moving with their guns are the ones, these ones now will be going to for the second phase to the training center. And any soldier who comes this time without a rifle will not go to the training center. So that when we graduate them, hopefully after 3 months, we'll graduate them with their rifle.
But it's my understanding that when soldiers were going to the training center at the various cantonment sites, they were not allowed to carry their guns. That's why the opposition said they left their guns behind and they went there because that was the condition. Why are you putting another condition this time that they must come with their guns?
No. They were supposed to bring their arms to the cantonment sites. This is where they would hand them over and they would be screened. Unfortunately, those forces decided to leave their rifles in their home areas and came to the cantonment sites and to the training centers without arms. This must be made very clear.
Honorable Minister...
They did not hand over...
Go ahead.
They have been fighting us, but they have not handed over any rifles to the stores in the cantonment sites or in the assembly areas.
Since
they left them in their home area.
Yes, since some of these armed groups are not on this line to defend themselves, it only begs, people will continue asking the government because the government is responsible for protecting its own people. Now, someone in Malakal listening to my discussion with you tonight, if you have an opportunity to speak to them, what would you tell them that these people, that these forces are deployed without guns? What are they going to do in Malakal without guns? How can you answer that person if he asks you that question?
And my question will be the vice versa. My question, which had been there all the time, I had been asking this international community, which had been on our neck all the time, had been asking them, what are these forces going to do if we deploy them without arms? And they said they must be deployed. So we deployed them. Because they are the security. The UN Security Council is the one responsible for this, and they know what it is.
Since I don't speak on behalf of the international community or the UN Security Council, I will leave this interview at this note, and I really thank you very much, Honorable Minister Michael Makuei, for creating time to talk to us about some of these sticky issues in South Sudan. Thank you very much.
With that, my message is that, John, I'm advising that the international community sends to the UN Security Council and demand the Security Council to lift the arms embargo so that the peace agreement in South Sudan is implemented in letter and spirit. Any resolution, whatever, on the arms embargo amounts to obstruction of the implementation of the agreement.
Thank you very much. Your message is loud and clear.
Thank
that was
much.
Michael Makuei, South Sudan's government spokesperson and Minister of Information. He was speaking to me live from South Sudan's capital, Juba.